this song that you sang or that you played, Corky. I want to know everything there is about the Lamb. I'm not sure exactly how he said that. And I thought, are you sure you do? Are you sure you do? Because Jesus said to his disciples, he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's which word. Who do you say that I am? And they didn't fall backward what he said at that time. But and Peter makes a strange statement. He said, well, some say you're this, and some say, and today say some say that he's God himself, and some say that he's God the Son, and some say, well, anyway, and he said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. And the Christos. It means anointed man is what it means. And so he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonas. And flesh and blood hasn't revealed this. And I'd like to make a comment and to Susan. She gave a testimony last week. It was one of the, it was a profound testimony, exhortation. And we have to understand that Jesus Christ is a man. We have to understand that. But here's the thing about it. Flesh and blood can't reveal it. If God doesn't reveal it, you don't get it. And I thought about it this morning. I thought, you know, I was commissioned, I suppose that would be the right word, to listen to the scripture day and night. And so we've been doing that for how many years? And why? That doesn't make any sense. It's starting to make sense. And for the simple thing is, for most of my Christian walk, I have done it man's way. Man's ideas, man's theories. Here's what you do. If you want to get something accomplished, you do it this way. And I can remember when I first got saved, and Barbara Burnett, who was a sweetheart, and she set up ways that we were going to go out in the streets and witness and things we were going to do. And you know what? And it sounded good. But before that ever happened, we saw the power of God on us, and after we started learning how to do it, it didn't work. But anyway, so we listened to the Word of God. Why do we listen to it? Why does God want us to trade this for everything else? It's because in here are the ways and the thoughts of God. And so as we listen to God's ways, we start developing those ways. We start doing it His way. And you know, the only way that works is God's way. He makes sure of it. He don't want us to, you know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is, you know, I don't know what it is. The end is something. Disaster. One way or another. And anyway, there are a lot of, I get frequent telephone calls from different ones. And so I know that there's more than just us that are seeing this thing. And there's people that would like to come, I think, but they're a little afraid to, because it'd be hard on their relationship with their friends. And I don't know why. There's a lot of people that are really antagonistic right all of a sudden towards us. And it has to be because people are listening to the messages, or, you know, some are critiquing them and some are listening to them, or I don't know. But irregardless, the truth has got to come out if it's available. I want the truth. And if that means being cut off from my family, I still want the truth. On the day of judgment, not one person here is going to judge me. God's going to do it. And so my relationship with Him is going to be the crucial thing. And I tell you what, I don't see where any of the disciples had it easy, including Jesus Himself. They had a rough road to hoe, as the saying goes. It was a rough road. And remember when Paul got converted, Saul, who became Paul, and Jesus said to Ananias, who was the one who prayed for him, he said, I'm going to show him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. Mm-hmm. You want a Christianity like that? Mm-hmm. And then that dream that I had that brought us back here, Joanne and I were surrounded by a wall of fire. And I've told you that how many times. You know what that represents? Persecution. It means persecution. Does it matter? Indeed, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You want to live godly? You want to really know who the Lamb is? Yeah. And I'm thinking that the major thing that has been revealed to me in the last 15 years is the identity of the Son. And it's not that I've got it right yet, but we're getting a better and better understanding. If God brought forth an only begotten Son, and this is, you know, God's will is for all men to be saved. And God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Is that important? If it's God's will, it's important. And we have to keep that in mind.
Praise the Lord, if I'm not 100%, I'm 98. So, all that's gone pretty much from my back. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. This is really weird. I was sitting yesterday and just kind of sitting in the house. I had the TV on. I was looking at some of the games and whatnot. And then there was this movie. And I was going back and forth, catching parts of it. It was Superman. It was, I think, Superman Returns or something like that. It was the last one or something. I don't know. But what was really funny, and I thought, this is how crafty the enemy is. Because a lot of people that would watch that movie wouldn't necessarily be Christians. So at the end, it comes to be that supposedly he had a son. And so at the end, I think he's standing over him while he's sleeping or something. Anyway, but this comet came. And the son will become the father and the father will become the son. And I thought, geez, isn't that something? He's preparing people already, if they should get saved, that they have this wrong concept. You know? I mean, now, is that giving him too much credit? Well, no. He's crafty.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how he's supplanted that throughout the church age without any of them knowing it. You know? So, it's just funny. It's, you know, it has to be. And to me, it just had to be him, because why would that end up in there? You know, I mean, it just isn't said that way. It's just, I thought, oh, yeah, UPC, here's your movie. Proves your doctrine.
Yeah.
Superman. The other thing was, I was reading in Acts, and I remember a while back we kind of had a question about Paul when he was... Because he didn't, did he speak in tongues right away? Was he filled, you know, whatever. And it just, so I was reading, and I don't know that I ever noticed it before. Maybe I did, but, I mean, I know that he got baptized, but So in Acts 9:17 it says, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So, I mean, I think Saul got it all immediately then, you know. And then whatever he did with it after, but, you know, it's just... I've been, over the last quite a few months, I've been wrestling with the whole concept of how important is it to receive the, you know, the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. And I don't know if I got a really answer yet, but it seems to me that it's important. But if you desire it for the wrong reason, you won't get it. So I want to be careful because I don't want to use my own experience as the one that somebody should go by necessarily. But the concept that got me, I mean, I saw people when we first came into the church, you know, and I was saved, but I'd been born again, but I didn't hear any of this stuff about all the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and miracles and, you know, because actually I read it out of, I committed myself to the Lord at the end of a book that was written by, that was 80s Countdown Armageddon by, what's the guy? He wrote a whole bunch of books. He was pretty popular for a long time. Anyway, and there was just a part in there that caught me that God used to get my attention, and by the end I was, you know, confessing my sins and wanted Jesus Christ to come in my heart. And it was funny because immediately, I think I had to find a Bible and started reading. And so then I went to a church near the house, and I think it was a Lutheran church, you know. And I've said this before, but bear with me. And he made a comment, and it just caught me wrong. And I said, "I don't think that's in the Bible, and I'm not coming back here." You know, which was good because I wasn't supposed to be there. And so I got kind of basically led to Assemblies of God. And then that's when I seen the other aspects of what was there, you know, the gifts and stuff. And so, but at the time also, I was reading extra books by people, you know, and everything. And I think it was Catherine and somebody, or what was their last name? They had a strong ministry in laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit. Hunters, maybe, yeah. Some one of them, I don't know. They wrote a book, I think. And so it was like I went. It wasn't necessarily. I don't think I went. Well, I want to be able to do. It's like I want that because God's giving it. It's a gift. And I didn't have this kind of deeper side of it, but since then it's like. So who am I to want to say to God, "I don't want a gift from you"? You know? And what that is, later, is like, because I had a couple things that happened over my walk listening to guys on the radio and everything. And I heard a guy say something to that effect, and I went, oh. And then later, it was like the Spirit really brought an awakening that said, that is self-righteousness. For you to think that you don't need something God wants to give, who are you? The creation. It's telling the Creator you don't need everything He's got for you. Yeah. And so then I sat down to pray for it. Of course, I had this little thought in the back of my mind that, yeah, I can't wait till my brother-in-law sees I got this. Well, I didn't get it. Until I went, "Lord, evidently there's something not right." And this was all while I'm sitting at my table in the kitchen by myself that day. So I went, and I went, "Lord, what?" And then right away the conviction came. And I went, "Oh, Lord, forgive me. That's, you're right. That's not why I want this. I want it because it's from you. And not to show anybody because it's from you. And immediately, and then I just started moving my tongue and whatever, and I started speaking in tongues. And so, you know, that's just my instance how it came about. But, and I've... And it says it's also to edify you when you do that in your privacy. And that's another thing I thought, well, I need about as much of that as I can get from who I am, you know, to be edified from the Lord. So there's aspects there that are really important. And I think, and I know that there's a confusion because yes, when you're born again, you're born from above. So you receive something from God. His Spirit does come into you. But it kind of shows that there's levels there. I mean, there's something else besides that. Otherwise, why would they do that to lay hands and receive the gifts, you know, or the gift? And I really think it does enhances your spiritual self to things of the Spirit, more than if you don't have it. You know, your mind just gets in there so much more, which it does anyway, you know, which we found out. But so, it's kind of like, you know, the one verse is, so it kind of puts it like, well, if the righteous are scarcely saved, what, you know, and if you put that, all them things in that concept, it's like, yeah, I need everything possible to get me to the kingdom of God, or into the kingdom of God, you know, that he has to offer. So, that's just a thought that because I ran across it while I was reading it. And you know, and when Keith was up right before, I was looking and I was reading a little farther ahead. You know, the crazy part is, and I think Keith gave a verse, it's Jesus saying some of these things. I mean, it's him saying, I'm only this.
Yeah.
How do we have the gumption to try to put words in his mouth that he didn't say? You know? And Peter, you know, you can't, are you going to start saying, well, they weren't really at that? You can't do that. They were men, and it says they were filled with the Spirit, and they were given boldness, and they presented the original, real gospel. It's been presented once. It isn't being presented right at the time, I'll tell you. I know it's not. Just, you know, and it's not being like I know so much, but God has shown. And they were warning at the end of their ministries. They were warning that this was happening already in their time, that the gospel was being diluted. Look at the Galatians. Because there were certain ones that couldn't get away from that stinking law. And doing it, you know, by works. And they kept trying to bring people back into that because they never got totally set free from it. And so that was one step of it, you know, and then the next was to just take away the credibility of who actually the Son of God was, you know. And so, like just a few statements here. The word, this is in Acts 10, the word 36. The word which God sent to the children, this is Peter speaking. Well, let me go back to 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. So that was a truth that God presented. No man was different than any other man once this Christ came. That's what it's all based on. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him in every nation. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, first, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, That word you know, which you proclaim, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now listen, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. What do you mean?
How? Sounds like a man, is what that sounds like.
Yeah, does that sound like an equal part of a God that needed all this extra help? I mean, come on. Oh, well, that's because when he was on earth, he was just a man. No, you can't do that. Because then you got to go to Revelation and everywhere else where he's still presented as the Lamb in the throne area. Seated at the right hand. Who is coming back in the clouds, and he says, as the Son of Man. Why not the Son of God? And why would he even be coming back as the Son of God? He should be coming back as the equal God, ruler of all. And you know, and then the other thing I remember from being taught in the Lutheran Church, you know, that isn't just them. Well, then they put these certain aspects on God. All-knowing, all-powerful, always has been. Really? And then all of a sudden, this other one now fits into that? How is that? He was born. He was given. He was sent. He was made. So, and then it's like, and God had to raise him from the dead. Why? He's a God. Oh, not then. Oh, okay. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and dead. He was given it by the one who is over all and is all. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And so, you know, I guess that's all that's in that little section. But Peter said all that in the beginning of Acts also. Same thing. You know, that God sent this his servant, Jesus of Nazareth. You know how they always connect him with Nazareth? And from Galilee, you know, I mean, it's to show that he was walking on earth as a man. And then later it says, and you have received and came into and received the baptism of Christ. See, that's what Keith kept bringing. That stuck with me when I heard that. You can't be baptized into deity. You know? You have to be relating to the man who had to die, who was baptized. He said, I have to do all this to fulfill. You know? And the prophets, why would God have told the prophets that this prophet, you know, and Messiah was going to come if he wasn't going to be a man? You know, it just... I mean, you can tell I'm a little excited about it. But I'm thinking maybe I'm having a little bit of a tone that's not correct, possibly, somewhat judgmental, and I don't want it to be. But I also know that I can't get frustrated. I can't get argumentative. Because if God doesn't put it on their heart, I'm not going to. And if I'm there and it is on their heart, there'll be the right response. But then I don't want them under me. I want them to be under God and under Jesus Christ and under this word, you know. And I've been... It's starting to bother me a little. I'm sure it's... Well, I know it's being done on work. But lately I'm really feeling kind of like I'm missing it a little, you know. But it's partly because you know you want to be used, but you know you don't want to be used ahead of time, you know. And you don't want to make it happen. But at the same time, I also am seeing parts of my life that could hinder me when he does want me to, if I don't deal with it. You know? And that's the hard part. And I'm surprised. It's a little confession. Having been trying to walk with the Lord for 30-some years, and only in the last 10, 15, whatever that, I can't believe time goes that fast. It does. I don't even remember when I was saved, but who cares? You know, I don't care what day it was. I care that I am, if I am, you know, which I am, I feel. But by grace, mercy. But it's like I lost my train there, but that I'm in this place where I'm getting convicted, I believe, you know, and it's like, and I'm thinking, how could I even be in that place after all that God has started to give in his truth and everything? And sometimes there's areas where I feel I'm as weak as I was before I was saved. And that's crazy. But it's reality, because I'm a human, you know, and I'm susceptible to sin. Still, even though I'm saved, which some people go, oh, then you're not saved, because, you know, there's no way you can sin once you're saved, which, you know, and then that's a whole other thing about truth, you know, in the gospel and truth in the word. But that's the thing. When you start seeing that stuff, you realize you don't just have this free ticket. You know, there's all kinds of places that say to work it out. To continue to keep being, you know? So, but if you don't have a heart as a little child to be open to the truth and to be wrong, you will never see any of those things. And then that's where the persecution is going to come from, because they don't see.
In 1 Corinthians 14:18. I'm sorry, Corky. Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So we know at some point he got filled with the Holy Spirit. But anyway, for what it's worth, it tells us in the 8th chapter of Romans, it says that we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit helps our infirmities with groanings which cannot be uttered, which means something that we're not able to pray. I have a sneaking suspicion, okay, and for what it's worth. Remember John 4:24 when Jesus says, the hour is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I'm not so sure that we can worship God in spirit without the Holy Spirit and without tongues. See, there are two different kinds of tongues mentioned in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. One of them is for the tongues and interpretation, but the other one says, he that speaks in an untone tongue edifies himself. And so it is a personal gift that God has given to each person, and so he wants all of us to have it. It's not a an option. You know, it's not something that we can take it or leave it, really. It's something he wants us to have. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love us if we don't have it, but it does mean that he wants us to have it. And it is his will. So anyway, there's more to be said, but
first, I want to give God the glory. You know, God is good. I share with you the trials and tribulations and ups and downs of my business. And on the past month, September was really tough. It's tough. But October's here, and it's not so tough. Not so tough. Not quite dancing in the streets, but there's a whole less consternation. I just laugh because it's just kind of the way he wants me to be. On my face, wondering what's next, which is exactly fine and good because it's probably where we all want to be, need to be. Keith mentioned Matthew 16:16 today, and it kind of got me thinking, you know, because it's one of the very few points in the Bible where a comment is made and Jesus spins and goes, that was from God. Not a lot of those moments. That was from God, Peter. So then I started thinking about that particular setting. So I wondered, well, how often was that changed through the various translations? And so I went to my little fancy Bible Hub, and I can tell you that Bible Hub will list 25 translations on any scripture that you want to look up. All 25 say exactly this: the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, they may say Messiah, or they say Christ, but the Son of the living God. So, I don't care how you try and do this, Jesus is the Son of God. Clearly. So,
that's good.
So then there's a little thing on Bible Hub. It talks about the commentaries. The Henry commentary. So you get four lines into it, and there's a sentence that says, this showed that they believed Jesus to be more than a man. So you first opportunity that you get away from Scripture to go with what the intellect will tell you, deception has creeped in. And I think, and I believe Henry, Keith may know better, but there are lots of commentaries. But I believe that Henry is kind of viewed as the more accepted or one of the more widely accepted commentary. 25 translations says that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And the most prolific commentary says, but he's more than a man. And where did you get that? What scripture led you to make this conclusion?
Right.
Which got me back to, really, stop trying to write your own version of the expanded scriptures. God has given us everything we need.
Yeah.
Not one jot, not one tittle more, not one jot, not one tittle less.
That's good. That's really good.
And it kind of dovetails well with what Brother Ken was sharing, because it is so easy to try and explain the unknown that you haven't been given the revelation. And because it's so easy to try and make it make sense to you why Jesus has to be more than man because of all the miracles and wonders he did, because if every man could do that, then why do we have, why aren't we all doing this? And so you go, well, obviously, he's more than I am. Well, with the amount of the fullness of God in him, he is more than I am, and he's more than you are. But with the fullness of God, we are all sons of God.
Yeah, it's good. You know, at least to the natural man, if you are the Son of God, you are more than a man. You know, that would...
You have to be.
Yeah, right, you'd have to be. Well, you're the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And I think there is quite a revelation in the idea that, no, that's not true. That you can be a son of God, but still be only a man. You know, that the natural man doesn't come up with that one on his own. You got to be at least half God. But the Bible doesn't support that real well. Of course, you know, you can find things in the Bible. But he is to be our older brother. He is to be our older brother. And we need to embrace that notion. What is a brother except someone who has the same, you know, same nature as yourself? So I think, though, that one of the really, one of the really surprising things about the nature of man is that we can be fully a brother to someone who is Son of God. What does that do to our relationship with God? it makes us a little closer than what we're naturally think. You know, that we're fully brothers to someone who is Son of God. We are made in His image, you know. And Adam was also the Son of God. But when we are in His image, and then there's that scripture in Ephesians there that Ken brought out, where we're to be filled with the fullness of God. That's man, to be filled with the fullness of God, to have the capacity to do that, it is something that the natural man or anyone just kind of backs away from, that notion that you can be filled with the fullness of God. So the doctrine of the Trinity makes a lot of sense in a kind of a way. Just because we don't feel comfortable with the notion that the line between us and God is so thin or so, you know. I'm not really able to express what I have to say really well, but we feel a lot more comfortable with the idea of God being way off and something totally, totally different than the thought that we and Jesus are the same in some essential point, you know. It just makes it a whole lot easier if He's deity. So I think that's at least a share of the difficulty that you were talking about here earlier, Keith, in bringing this truth that what Jesus is a man. If Jesus is a man, what does that make me? Something I'd really rather not be dealing with right now. You know, that's so. Another thing, in connection with being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. I like speaking in tongues. I like it. It's good. But I like it to the extent that I can make a evaluation of myself for kind of innocent reasons. I don't think I'm filled with pride or about it or anything. You know, that's not it. I just like speaking in tongues. But I do remember when I very first got saved and spoke in tongues, going down to the United Pentecostal Church in Eau Claire, and I was introduced around people, you know. And a number of times they asked, is he filled with the Spirit? You know? And the answer to that question was yes. Yeah, I am filled with Spirit. Yeah. And there was kind of a relief and happiness, you know, at that thought. Here it was. And I remember thinking at the time, I feel pretty good about this, to be able to be, you know, not one of the second-class ones, but feel, you know, I'm one of the first-class ones. You know, I'm filled with Spirit, you know. Kind of, you know, I belong or something like along those lines. And boy, I was just, I was thinking as we were, you know, as Ken was sharing, and maybe Keith too, that if the answer had been, no, he's not filled with the Spirit, you know, he's not speaking in tongues, I'd have felt kind of second class in some kind of way, you know. Now I wouldn't have felt very good in the natural about that. I would have. And so anyway, there is that element. You know, nothing is simple. Nothing is simple when you involve people and things. And I love speaking in tongues, and not for any kind of first class, second class thing. I just like speaking in tongues. But still, there is that feature in the natural that it would be best for us not to be judging on in some kind of way. You know, that's best not to do that.
You know, I always think back once I did hear the gospel, true gospel at the time. It was true enough that it was got me born again. When I was small and was on the farm, you know, 3-4 years old, I remember I'd lay down in the grass or somewhere, whatever, and I'd look up at the clouds and I'd just think about about God. That there's a God. I just knew there was a God. Probably heard some reference, but, you know, just knew there was a God. And there were things that happened when I was still there, because that I knew there were angels, you know, because I should have got run over by a colt and didn't, you know. Just like it just went right over the top and never touched, you know, but in the dark. So, anyway, so then, you know, then life goes on and I'm being required to sit in the class at the Lutheran Church for catechism, or to be confirmed. And I remember, here's the thing, see, I heard the statement somewhat in the effect that the enemy immediately put into my mind, and it was what Charlie just brought up, that, well, if he's God, then who can be like him? And that was the way Christ was put across, and that was my open door. And it was, oh, well, I can't live up to that, so I ain't going to try. I'm going to go completely the opposite way. And I did. And that was my rebellion and what I did for years. But, you know, I sat and thought, if you take a little child, 3, 2, I don't know what age it would be for necessarily, and you said, there is one God, then they wouldn't question. They would just say, okay, there's one God. And then later on, if no one ever talked to him again and they opened the Bible, they would see what? They would see it said all the time that there is one God. Now what does, see, that's the thing that that does get me a little bit, I don't know what it's called, if it's righteous anger or whatever, that says, how do we as man just decide to say, but It's three in one when there's nothing like that in there. So people might well say, well, yeah, how does that happen? I'll tell you how that happens. Because you got to also recognize that there's a fallen angel who is over, and he works mysteriously also, craftily. And you know, seeing that verse in Corinthians 11, is it, I believe, where it says, you know, and he has workers of righteousness. Workers of righteousness. Now that seems contradictory, doesn't it? How can you be a worker of righteousness and be from the dark side, you know, from darkness? Well, because it's the same thing as when Christ pointed out about the Pharisees and stuff. It says, you know, do what they say, because they're saying the right thing, but they're not doing it. You do it, you know. So it was like, you can present righteousness as a hypocrite, basically, which I know I've done, you know. I mean, it can be the right thing, but you're not living it, but you're saying the right thing. So when they come into the pulpit, they can just, now see there, that's a label. Or they become teachers, and they present this. You know what, they didn't really come up with that in themselves. If there's anything why we shouldn't maybe judge to a certain degree, it's because the enemy put it there, you know. And worked on them and worked on them and got them, you know, and then it's partly due to the fact too that scripture that says, you know, you go and make them sons of perdition worse than what you are, yeah. You know, by your teaching them, and so then you are held accountable at a point, you know. Because you accepted it, and then if you and see the thing, I think that's being made with Christ there when he came, because he said, before I came, they really weren't going to be judged as sinful. But now that I've come and spoken the words of truth, they're accountable because they heard them and they rejected it, you know. So all these people today, I mean, and I, you know, I'm not putting us anywhere, but we just, you know what, and I don't know how you explain that to people all the time. Sometimes you can't. And I think sometimes the Lord won't want you to. You just got to take what's going to come. But you're going to sound like you think you know so much more. Well, you do, but it's not because you did it. You know, the thing about speaking in tongues, I was thinking about that when Charlie was saying, I love it too. I love it. You know why? I didn't do anything to get it except ask. And the thing is, how am I uttering this language that does make sense somewhere? You know? Isn't that, and I thought, isn't that a little bit of enter into my rest? From your own works? I mean, it's kind of, and to me, every time I do almost, it's a testimony to me that God is real. Because I, one minute, second, wasn't speaking this, and now I am. You know? That's a testimony. So, you know, when you take them simple facts about becoming as a little child, it's so amazing how that is truly the foundation of truth. If you can't sit there and just be open to hear and accept, because, well, you might say, well, I'm not just going to be open to accept anything. No, but when you hear it and then you can see that it lines up with other places, and which might take a while, you know? Like as a little child, you might hear one God and believe it, but to really make that, well, hopefully you'll keep hearing it as, and that's what they should have been hearing all the time they were being brought up. If it was the true gospel and it was truth from the Word of God, that concept never would have changed. It would have grown deeper like it has in us now. I mean, my concept of God now is way more than it ever was. You know? And then he is one. He's over everything. I mean, how you can't... And we say it so many times, but, you know, the scripture in the end, when countless, 2-3 times, Jesus says, and I don't even know the day or the hour when I'm going to come back. Now, how is that? He's already in heaven right now, right? Sitting, ruling, reigning, and he doesn't know when he's going to come back? Well, gee, there's something about this equality missing with God, you know? Being one, all equal, all knowing, you know. And then it says, and I love that scripture, and the day is going to come when he's going to, all that God gave him and all that he rules over, he's going to come and present it before him that God may be all in all. And it says in another place that, yeah, and when God gave Christ power over all, it excludes the one who gave it, obviously. And it says it. But you got to be open to see it, which we weren't either. You know, that's the thing. Why is God doing that in a place like this? Well, for one, you know what? You have to admit. Because it says he really looks to the lowly and the nothings. You know? And to me, I'm good with that. Because I know. Yeah. And even being lowly, I think I'm greater than I should be a lot of times, you know. You know, like the rich man, you know, because, you know, there's a pride comes when you're successful, see. Well, that must mean I'm pretty smart and I can figure things out. And you know, a guy might not start out. Some people can start out knowing they're being blessed by God. But if you can hold on to that all the way through, glory. Because, yeah, well, and it means you're staying in touch with the God that you know gave it. But if you go on a while and then start feeling like, oh, well, you know, I can give advice in a lot of areas because I'm successful. And I can probably interpret this maybe a little better, you know. And, gee, I've been going, you know, that story about going to a seminary and coming back an atheist, it's so, that. That is such a, and it's a good illustration of what's real. I mean, they're not teaching the gospel there. It's just the same way in the schools, you know. I mean, it's all been infiltrated, more or less, to take God out of the picture. But you know what? There's been other times in history when God was kind of out of the picture. And when he wants to come back into the picture, he will. And he will. And he will. You know? And he'll be the picture. But not everyone will want to see it.
When Ken was talking about when he was four and he looked up and, you know, thought about God, I thought of something that happened the other day. And we had Jasper for a while. And he was walking around and he was mumbling. You remember how Joe Hack used to kind of sing and a mumbling, singing thing? And anyway, he was mumbling and he was mumbling. And he was just, I mean, he's only 2.5 years old, this little guy. And so when Brittany walked in to get him, and she heard him in there, and she recognized what he was doing, but we didn't. And she says, come here and sit on my lap. So she came up there and him sang, "Oh, Lord, how wonderful you are." Remember that song? That's what he was mumbling. Because they'd been singing that around at the house. And so he was mumbling that song. And so he was trying to sing it with her. You know, his only little guy. And I thought, you know, get them started when they're little. And something got kids started when he was four. Something got a lot of us started when we were little. And I got to think of a couple of things, and one of them was I think I understood something supernatural. As I'm not sure who was saying, I think it was Ken, but when the first disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit. The common consensus today is that they spoke in all of these languages for the benefits of those that were out there that heard them in their own tongue. And I thought, wait a minute here. You know what that tells me? It tells me the variety of tongues that these men spoke in, and they didn't even know what they were saying. But they were speaking in a tongue that made sense. You follow me? And we speak in an unknown tongue, which makes perfect sense to God. He's hearing what we're saying, and so we don't know what we should pray. You know what? How do we worship Him? The disciples, they said, Lord, they asked Jesus, they said, how do we pray? What do we do to pray? And so He said, well, here's what you do. And He gives them a format, but He didn't say, pray this, but we do. You know, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy. Well, anyway, He's given us a format, an understanding of the awesomeness of who we're praying, or who we're praying to. And so, anyway, so here we are, this awesomeness of God. We know not how to pray as we should. That's an understatement. The world doesn't even know who He is or what He is. And so here He is. He's a spirit. He is spirit. And so if we're going to worship Him in spirit, it's got to be something a little different than what I'm familiar with. And so I think He gave us speaking in tongues so that we could fill that gap, so that we could pray to Him as He wants us to.
In spirit and in truth.
In truth. And there's no other way that we can do it. And I think also I got another understanding, just basic, of what happened. You know, I was in a frantic position, and I was asking God to help me. You know, this is, 17 years ago. And a voice spoke and said, if you want to find me, and I didn't know I was looking for Him, but if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. Now, why did the voice say, you got to look for me in my word? Why did the voice say that? I think that He leaves a little bit up to us. It didn't take me long to, as I thought about it, I thought, I don't know that I've ever heard anything that was true in the church. The only place where truth can be found, and I knew that somehow, was in God's Word. If you want to find me, here's where you look. And if you're going to look here, quit looking someplace else. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's where we're at. So anyway, any other thought patterns or comments or major revelations? Let's come up to the front. I get so much...